Your guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. This is part of what we call the water cycle. Solomon, in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 7, tells us about the water cycle. It is one of the proofs that the Bible came from God and not from men. Humans and animals. Animals do not have any moral guidance in their lives. When was the last time you saw a dog arrested for stealing food from another dog? And was the dog who stole the food sorry about stealing it? There have been suggestions by some that animals have the same feelings and morals as humans. Some say that dolphins are smarter than humans, or cows show concern for a fellow cow who is stuck in a mud hole and cannot get out. Animals do not operate according to any ethical or moral code. Only human beings recognize the existence of morality and ethics. You may have animals discussing these things in animated and computer-enhanced movies, but not in real life. We have a law to obey today. It is the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, verse 25. It is the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2. Paul says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." There are only two possible sources for the existence of morals and ethics. Either they evolved from man, or they came from a supreme being, God. Atheism says there is no ultimate standard of right and wrong. Instead, they argue for situation ethics, where the situation determines what is right and what is wrong. Or relativism, which again says there is no objective standard of authority. The only reasonable and logical explanation for morals and ethics in this world is the existence of an eternal God. And all of these things that we discuss point out the existence of an eternal God who created this universe. Because God created the universe, He tells us about His nature. The God of the universe does not have just one attribute or one characteristic. Some seem to think that God has only one attribute. For example, people will say, God is only a God of love, and He loves everybody, and He's not going to punish anybody. And they never talk about all of the other characteristics of God. Or some will talk about a vengeful God, or a God of wrath. But God has many attributes. The Bible teaches there is just one God. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Then the Bible says, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. So the Bible clearly teaches there is one God. However, the Bible tells us our one God has many attributes. For example, our God is all-powerful. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. So God is all-powerful. Also, He is everywhere in the universe. David wrote in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 11, Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 11. So God is all powerful. He is everywhere, and He knows everything. Hebrews 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Yes, our God is a just and righteous God. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. We've already discussed that God is eternal. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In our last lesson, we talked about the fact that some think that God created the universe and then left it to run on itself, and that God had absolutely no concern for mankind and did not communicate with man. But as we discuss in our lesson today, one of the attributes of God is that He is concerned for mankind. In John 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He communicates with His creation. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. So as we discuss the existence of God, and as we discuss the origin of the universe, we note that God created this universe. He created mankind, and He wanted people to know His will. This universe in which we live did not come into existence accidentally. It was created by an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, just God, who is concerned for us so that He provides us a way to go to heaven. And He has communicated with us through His Word. It is impossible to believe in Christ and not believe in God. Jesus tells us that God exists. He proved His words were true. We must believe in God in order to go to heaven. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so we see in this section of our lesson concerning basic facts of the faith, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God has existed from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. And He has created this universe for us to live in. Now, in connection with these things that we have discussed, we now talk about the origin of the Bible. From where did the Bible come? It did not come from man. The devil would not write it either. If man could have and had written the Bible, many of the facts that we read in the Bible would have been left out. If man had given us the Bible by his own power, we would not read of the weaknesses and sins of the people. If the devil had written the Bible, he certainly would not have described himself as the evil one. So we know man did not write the Bible. The devil did not write the Bible. The Bible came from God. The Bible has been here for all of these centuries. The Bible is from God. How do we know? There are certain things that we can discuss that help us to understand the Bible came from God, not from the knowledge and the wisdom of man. And so, in this section of our study, we're going to note some reasons why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Just as we discussed in talking about why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, why we believe in the existence of God, we can see reasons for why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. You see, we're trying to fulfill 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in him, with meekness and fear. We believe the Bible is from God. The Bible is the Word of God because there are no contradictions in the Bible. The Bible was written by about 40 different writers over a period of about 1,600 years. The writers of the Bible were men who lived in different periods of time, having different occupations, living in different places. In many cases, the writers did not know each other. Yet there are no contradictions in the Bible. No other book can make this claim. This could not have happened by accident. Think about it for a minute. A book that was written over a period of 1,600 years, written by 40 men, and yet no contradictions found in the Bible. Think of those 300 plus prophecies made concerning the Messiah or the Christ. Every one of them were fulfilled. When I was a teenager, we used to play a game at some of our teenage parties. This game we called gossip. It may be you called it by another name. But what we would do in this party is someone would write a sentence on a piece of paper. And after they wrote the sentence on a piece of paper, they would whisper that sentence into the ear of the person sitting next to them. Then that person would in turn whisper the sentence to the person beside them, and on it would go around the room. And then finally, the last person to hear the sentence would say that sentence out loud. Usually we would have maybe 15 or 20 people involved in this game. And it was interesting that every time the sentence that began was completely different from the sentence at the end. One sentence going through 15 or 20 people, and it changed completely. But yet here's a book, the Bible, that was written by about 40 men over a period of 1,600 years. And yet there's no contradictions in it? That could not have happened by accident. That is a proof that the Bible came from God. Another proof is that there are scientific facts in the Bible. We can consider there are many scientific facts found in the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a science book, but it does have scientific facts in it that do not contradict true science. We think that Columbus and Magellan proved that the earth is round. That was about 500 years ago. But the Bible told us the earth was round thousands of years before anybody ever heard of Columbus or Magellan. It was approximately 1,500 to 2,000 years before Columbus and Magellan came on the scene, that Isaiah said, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth." Isaiah 40 and verse 22. What did he say? God sits above the circle of the earth. Isaiah said that more than 2,000 years before Columbus sailed from Spain to the New World and before Magellan and his crew sailed around the earth. And then the Bible says, "When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep." Proverbs 8 and verse 27. You see, the Bible says the earth was round, not flat. The Bible also tells us we are not able to count the stars. In 1940, people who studied the stars, astronomers, finally came to the conclusion that we are not able to count all of the stars in the universe. Oh yes, they could count billions and billions of stars, but they could not count them all. Almost 2,500 years ago, the prophet Jeremiah recorded, "As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David my servant and the Levites who minister to me." Jeremiah 33 and verse 22. We cannot count all the stars. The Bible says that. But isn't it interesting that God can not only count the stars, He calls them all by name. Psalm 147 and verse 4. We can't count them. He can count them, and He has a name for each one. What power God has, the God who created this universe. And so we look at the fact that the Bible does not contradict itself, and there are many scientific facts found in the Bible, and we've also already mentioned the fulfilled prophecies in the Bible prove that the Bible came from God, not from man. There are more than 1,000 prophecies in the Bible. The fact that every prophecy is fulfilled is further proof that the Bible is from God. In addition to the prophecies concerning Christ, we note a few others. In the Old Testament, we read of the prophecy and fulfillment concerning the city of Jericho. In Joshua 6 and verse 26, after Jericho had been conquered, Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." In other words, the foundation and the gates will be laid by, at the same time, the children of the person who does it. They will die. And then the fulfillment. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn. And with his youngest, Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. 1 Kings 16 and verse 34. We could also mention the prophecy made by the prophet Isaiah concerning Cyrus, king of Persia. In Isaiah 44, verse 28, and Isaiah 45, verse 1, Isaiah records, "Who says of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure,' saying to Jerusalem, 'You shall be built,' and to the temple, 'Your foundation shall be laid. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut." Here are two prophecies made by Isaiah before Cyrus was born. And in Ezra chapter 1, that prophecy is fulfilled. There were also many prophecies about the church that were fulfilled as well. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, Daniel chapter 2, 31 through 46, and Acts chapter 2, 14 through 47, point out the prophecies concerning the coming kingdom and its fulfillment. And so we look at these proofs, and in our lesson next week, we're going to talk about some additional proofs that help us to understand that the Bible came from God. It did not come from man. Man did not have the ability to provide us with this book. The devil did not provide us with this book, because this book condemns the activities of the devil.